Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm thrilled to have Adam Mendler joining us today. Adam is the CEO of the Veloz Group, where he co-founded and oversees ventures across a wide variety of industries. Beverly Hills Chairs, a leading office furniture e-tailer, Custom Tobacco, a one-of-a-kind e-commerce platform where customers can create fully customized private label cigars in real time, and Veloz Solutions, a technology consulting and software development practice. Adam is also a nationally acclaimed thought leader, writer, and speaker on topics including leadership, entrepreneurship, and management. Adam is the creator and host of the podcast 30 Minute Mentors, where each week he goes one-on-one with one of the most successful people in the company on how they got to the top and how the listeners can too. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Ashley, thank you for having me. Thank you to your listeners for taking the time to tune in. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. I'd love if you could start off by telling us what you do and what led you there.
I think you did a great job telling listeners what I do. So, I'm an entrepreneur. I run a few different businesses. You gave some good highlights. So one of the businesses that I started is a company called Beverly Hills Chairs. We're the leading sellers in the country of refurbished brand name office chairs. So the Herman Miller Aeron chair, which is the number one selling office chair in the country, retails for $1,400 brand new per chair. What we do is we offer that chair to customers at more than 50% off retail, so between $500 and $600 a chair. That's one of our businesses. And we do that for lots of other brand name in-demand office chairs. We have a cigar company called Custom Tobacco. If you go to customtobacco.com, you can create your own fully customized private label cigars in real time. So everything's customized, the shape, the size, the blend, the wrapper, the filler, the flavor, and you can create your own cigar band. So it's really popular for gifts and for events. Actually, a lot of our customers are women. We're probably the only cigar company of all time that sells to more women than to men, because women love buying gifts and need to buy gifts for the man in their life, whether it's their boyfriend, their husband, their dad, their clients, their whatever, and a lot of event planners. We also have a software development company where we work with early stage to middle market companies on custom software projects. I do a lot of writing and speaking on the topic of leadership, how to become a better leader, how to lead in today's landscape, lessons learned from America's top leaders. And I have a podcast that you mentioned, which is focused on how anyone can become better in their lives, how anyone can become better in their careers, how anyone can become a better leader. It's called 30 Minute Mentors, 30 Minute Conversations with the most successful people in the country. So leading CEOs and founders, celebrities and athletes, generals and admirals, major influencers. And we go one-on-one for 30 minutes on how they got to the top and, more importantly, how listeners can get to the top as well. And my goal really is for anyone tuning in to be able to listen to any episode for 30 minutes and really be able to take some content that they have learned from the podcast back to their lives and back to their careers and be able to be all the better for it. So Ashley, I know it's a mouthful. I know that I've got a lot going on, but it's all things that I love doing that I'm passionate about, and that makes all the difference.
Yes, absolutely. It's wonderful. And now I'd love if you could share what your first business was that you had started and what kind of led you to want to be an entrepreneur or start that business.
A great question. So the first business that we started is the Veloz Group. And the Veloz Group is the parent company for all these different businesses that I've mentioned. For the office furniture company, for the cigar company, for the software development company. And my brother and I started the Velos Group back in 2012. I was working for a really large company in the financial services industry. I was 28 years old at the time, and I had my MBA. My first job out of college was working for what was then the largest hedge fund in the world. And while I was getting my MBA, I worked for two really big companies in the entertainment industry. A really big Hollywood studio, really big Hollywood talent agency. I worked for Universal Pictures and for William Morris Endeavor. And when I graduated from business school, I worked for Credit Suisse, huge bank. I was working in their private banking group. And when I was 28, I just felt like I had a lot of corporate experience under my belt for that age. I kind of knew what life was like working for big companies. I worked for four big ones. And I felt like if there was ever a time to do something entrepreneurial, that was really the right time for me to try it. My energy was never going to be higher. My expenses were never going to be lower. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to make an impact. I felt like the Velos Group would be just a real opportunity for me to make more of an impact than I was making in the lives of others. And my brother was working as a software developer for an early stage company, but they had already gone public. They were already sort of past that quote unquote startup point. And I think he was sort of wanting to do something a little bit more entrepreneurial as well. And we both joined forces and started the Velos Group, and the rest is history.
That's amazing. And you had mentioned that when you were 28, you kind of realized that now would be a really good time to become an entrepreneur. Was there something, like some type of big moment that made you realize that? Or was it just one day you kind of thought to yourself, I think I'm going to go off and do this?
It's a really good question, Ashley. I did not have the aha moment of, okay, here's the $1 billion idea, or here is the trigger for me to go start my own company. I don't have that I can point to for listeners, but it was a process. It was a process of self-discovery. It was a process of determining what I really wanted to do with my life. It was a process of what I really wanted to do in so far as making an impact in the lives of others. Something that I talk a lot about, and I give quite a few talks, at least I did up until coronavirus, now that there aren't really that many in-person events anymore, if any. Public speaking has been put on hold, but up until then, one of the things that I did was I would give talks to companies, I would give talks at universities, I would give talks to nonprofit organizations. Now it's going virtual, so its format's changing a little bit. But one of the important messages that I really try to convey to audiences, hopefully I can convey it to your audience, is the importance of getting on that journey of self-discovery, getting on that journey of understanding who you are, understanding what you're good at, understanding what you want to do in life, understanding what you're passionate about. And it's an ongoing journey. At age 28, I had a much better sense of who I was, I had a much better sense of what I wanted to do than at age 21. But at age 35, I'm 36 right now, as of the recording. Maybe when the episode is released, I'll be 37. I turned 37 in August. So anyone listening, you guys now know how old I am. I try not to disclose that because I try to pretend, you know, I try to look young and take care of my skin and use whatever products to look good and whatnot. I live in LA. We're all about vanity here in Los Angeles. But at age 36, I certainly have a much better sense of what I want to get out of life and who I am as a person and what my strengths are and what my weaknesses are, even than I had at age 28. This is a journey that we should all go on. And I'll kind of end with this. Something that I really try to tell people, and if your listeners get nothing out of this conversation beyond the following piece of advice, I think this is a win. When you're trying to figure out what you want to do in life, I think you want to try to check off the following three boxes. Is this something that I love doing? Is this something that I'm passionate about? That's number one. Is this something that I'm good at? That's number two. And is this something that makes a difference in the lives of others? That's number three. If you could check off those three boxes, you're golden. And for many of us, being an entrepreneur allows us to do that. For others, you don't need to be an entrepreneur, but whatever road you take, I highly encourage you to really think about it within that framework.
I think that's excellent advice, especially because I can personally say that with my own journey of starting a business, I knew that I wanted to start my marketing firm because of those three buckets. I loved marketing. I knew I was good at marketing, and I knew that I would be making a difference in others' lives by supporting the growth of their business. And so I think that with anything you want to do in life, no matter it's entrepreneurial or not, being able to always tie back to those three categories is so crucial.
Absolutely. I'm glad you agree with me, Ashley. It makes me feel better about myself.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's one of us, but I'm sure all of our listeners will feel the same way. Going along with that, Adam, since you had mentioned you started the Veloz Group at 28, what was the most difficult part of starting that business?
I don't even know where to start with you because there were a lot of challenges. I think the first challenge is you kind of need to get out of your own way. We made so many mistakes early on. And I would say the biggest mistake we made was we started the Veloz Group with this vision of pushing on every single idea that we had. So we had tons and tons of ideas. We kind of filtered it down a little bit, but not all that much. We had like 10 different ideas that we wanted to push on. And we spent the first year to year and a half as a business pushing on every idea under the sun. And after a year and a half of doing that, truthfully, it was a lot of fun. It was a really interesting and unique experience that few people have the opportunity to do. It was something that, man, it's indescribable. But on the flip side, we pretty much burned through all of our money. We burned through all of our savings. My brother and I put up our own capital to seed the Veloz Group, and we blew through all of it. So it was just an awful business. I won't even say business decision, but set of business decisions to get to that end of year one, midway through year two. And it came down to a couple of things. Number one, lack of focus. That was big. Number two, we were running really hard, but we were running in circles and in a sense, really running in place. So all this time we were spending wasn't really getting us very far because we were spreading ourselves so thin. So after about a year and a half of burning through our money, and you know, you sort of come to this point where you have no choice but to change course, because right. If you don't change course, you're not going to be in business any longer. You're going to be back in the workforce. You're going to have to go get a job again. And neither of us wanted to go back and do what we were doing before. And we wanted to make this thing work. And we knew that to make it work, we needed to focus. We needed to pick the ideas that were closest to making money so that we could reverse this awful trend of money going out instead of money going in. When you're a bootstrap business, there's nothing more important than cash flow. And our cash flow was flowing in the wrong direction. So we had to change that. And it was really a come to Jesus moment for me, which was interesting because I'm Jewish. So for me to have a come to Jesus was pretty significant, but it made all the difference.
Yeah. And identifying when you need to make a change and actually doing it is an extremely vulnerable, raw, yet brave thing to do. So for someone who kind of knows that they need to make a change, but is unsure of what that change should be, what would you recommend to them?
Great question, actually. That's a really good one. The first thing you need to do is you need to be open to change. You need to have a mindset that brings yourself to a state of openness. And from there, it becomes a lot easier. Too many of us have a sense of, look, when you're a hard charging person, when you're someone who has had success, whether that's success academically, whether that's success, you know, maybe you were, in my case, I was the president of the student body when I was a kid. I was the captain of my baseball team. I had some really good internships and jobs. I was Phi Beta Kappa in college. I had experienced a lot of success. And I think until you taste failure, you become, you're not as humble, and you need to get humbled to really be able to take that next step in your journey toward real success. So you need to get knocked down before you can get back up and then ultimately become all the better for it. And that's just part of the journey. That's part of the journey toward getting to where all of us need to ultimately be. So getting yourself at a place where you are open to feedback, where you're open to listening, where you're open to learning. Something that I really try to do with my podcast is bring in the absolute smartest, most successful, most accomplished people in the country and have them come into the homes and come onto the phones and onto the computers of anyone open to learning how to become better, how to become a better entrepreneur, how to become a better leader, how to become better in business, how to become more successful. And a consistent theme that I hear from people who I interview, and these are literally the most successful people, founders of multi-billion dollar companies, CEOs of public businesses, Fortune 500 companies, 3- and 4-star generals and admirals, celebrities who are in the homes of billions of people, Hall of Fame and Olympic gold medal winning athletes. A theme that I hear over and over again is the importance of lifelong learning. Something that these guys tell me on the air and off the air is if you want to be a better leader, you need to continually learn. And that's really important, no matter how successful you are. And case in point, so many of the people who I interview are continually trying to learn, whether they're listening to podcasts or whether they're reading books or whether they're learning through other methods by picking up a phone and calling people who they can learn from. There are a lot of ways that we can learn. And I just think it's important that you get on that journey and you open your mind to it.
I love that, especially going along with that too, the importance of what I like to say, surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you. And it sounds like that's exactly what you're talking about, is just really being able to surround yourself with different resources and people and experiences who can help you get to that next point where you want to be.
Absolutely. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. So surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you is a core axiom to becoming more successful in life. It's a core axiom to great leadership. It's a core axiom to success. And something that I think all of us need to understand as entrepreneurs is, in order to grow our business, we need to hire great people. We need to hire people who can elevate our businesses. Something that I'm sure other guests of yours have either said on previous podcasts, or if they haven't said them in previous podcasts, I'm sure you'll have guests who will say it in future podcasts. So
right.
I know I'm not going to be the only one who's going to say this, but I will say it. Something critical to entrepreneurship is entrepreneurs need to work on their business, not in their business. And, you know, we all hear that. You learn that in your first entrepreneurship class, Entrepreneurship 101 or whatever, at USC, I think it was Entrepreneurship 451, whatever the number was. But it's very true. When you need to work on your business and not in your business. Now, you need to start by working in your business to really learn the ins and outs of it, and to ultimately get your business to a point where you can bring people on to help you get to a stage where you're ultimately able to work on your business. But again, the only way that you're going to be able to get to that point where you can work on your business and not in your business is if you have the right people around you who can ultimately do the things that need to get done day in, day out to make your business successful.
Absolutely. I think you said it perfectly. And Adam, what would you say was the most rewarding part of starting your business?
Other than having the opportunity to be on this podcast, I mean, this is pretty rewarding for me. there are a lot of things that are rewarding about doing what I do. There are obviously the superficial things that I like that I can't deny. I can't say it's the most rewarding, but it's definitely cool to be able to wear shorts and flip-flops every day. I mentioned to your listeners earlier that I live in LA. So when I went to college, I'll take you even a step back. When I went to high school, I went to a small private high school, and we had a dress code, and I had to wear a button-down shirt and slacks every day. And I hated it. I absolutely hated it. I could not stand having to wear a button-down shirt and slacks every day. So when I went to college, I went to USC, and literally every single day I wore shorts and a t-shirt. When it got cold, I would wear shorts and a sweatshirt. But I wore shorts at least 350 days a year. And my last job, I worked at a bank. I had to wear a suit every single day. On Fridays, which were casual Fridays, I wore a suit and no tie. So that was the casual day. I love being able to wear shorts every day. Now, when there's a meeting, I'll dress up. I'll put on a button-down shirt, maybe a sport coat, maybe jeans, whatever. I do wear a suit from time to time. But today, shorts and a t-shirt, it's great. So that's awesome. But on a more meaningful note, I really love the ability to make a meaningful impact in the lives of others. To me, that's what this is all about. That was what I hope to be able to do through the Veloz Group. And it's extremely rewarding to be able to ultimately do that through each of my businesses, through my speaking. The Veloz Group has positioned me in a way where I've ultimately been able to talk about my experiences as an entrepreneur and share them with different audiences, talk about my leadership experiences. I started doing much more media work where I've been interviewing America's top leaders and then being able to share their experiences with different audiences. So, I mean, even just focusing on the office furniture company, Beverly Hills Chairs. This is a business that, as an entrepreneur, you could look at it in a very parochial way and say, you're buying office chairs, you're refurbishing office chairs, you're reselling office chairs, and you're making a product. That's the way an entrepreneur looks at it. The way I look at it is, we are bringing products that customers very badly want into their lives. Think about how important it is to have a great office chair. Right now, many people who are listening to this podcast might be listening from their home, and we're quarantining, we're working from home. It's a new time, it's a new era. And how important to you is having a great office chair? It's something that you sit on for hours and hours a day. It brings you health. It brings you happiness. It brings you productivity. We get email after email after email. We have customer calling us, telling us how happy they are that we're providing this product to them, that we're providing this service to them. How does that not make you feel good as an entrepreneur?
Right.
How does that not make you feel good as a leader? So that's just an example for me of a way that being an entrepreneur is extremely rewarding.
Yeah, just knowing that you're making a difference in your customers' lives because you're here to provide a service to them.
Absolutely.
And going along with that, Adam, what do you think led you to your success?
I mean, that's we could spend an entire episode on that question. We could spend an entire week on that because there are so many people in my life who are responsible. There are so many experiences in my life. The whole reason why I am so passionate about mentorship, 30 Minute Mentor is my podcast. You can't do this alone. It's impossible to get anywhere in life alone. And my company, the Veloz Group, is named after the street I grew up on, Veloz Avenue in Tarzana, California. And growing up on Veloz Avenue was a formative part of my childhood, a formative part of who I am. My parents have been incredibly impactful, have been incredibly influential. So many great mentors, so many great mini mentors. Something I talk about and I've written about, it's a phrase that I use called mini mentors. So a mentor is someone who is a person in your life. Actually, interesting statistic, but most mentors are people who you know for at least a decade. And they are in your life in a meaningful way. They are someone who you can turn to in times good and bad. Maybe you go out to lunch with them every few weeks or coffee or jump on the phone with them. And it's really important to have great mentors in your life. But I also think it's really important to have a great network of mini mentors. And what is a mini mentor? Mini mentor is someone who you could call once. Maybe you call once a year. There's someone who, when you need something, maybe it's a question about a particular business issue that you're having. Maybe you need a particular connection. Maybe you're going through an issue where you're looking for advice that someone with really unique and specific experience can help guide you through. Having that network of mini mentors is invaluable. That's what I try to do through 30 Minute Mentors. And it served me extremely well in life. So, I mean, between mentors, between mini mentors, my parents, my friends, my community growing up, USC was a great experience for me. I went to UCLA Business School, met so many great people through that. We can go on and on, actually. Just very grateful for a lot of the experiences that I've had in life and a lot of the people that I've had in my life.
And I totally agree with that and understand where you're coming from, because being able to surround yourself with people who support you, have been there before, have the resources to help you get there, and things of the like is so, so helpful for being able to take your business to that next level and build something that you're truly proud of and passionate about.
Absolutely.
And Adam, if there was one thing you wish you did differently, or one thing you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
I wish I was a better baseball player. That's definitely something that I wish. Most of your listeners have probably never seen me play baseball before, but when I was a kid, I loved playing baseball, and I was the captain of probably the worst baseball team in the history of baseball. My senior year of high school, we lost every single game. We were terrible. So yeah, I wish that I was better at baseball. That would have been fun to be a Major League Baseball player, but that didn't happen for me. God didn't bless me with the hand-eye coordination that I needed. I was always the hardest working guy on the field, hardest working guy in the clubhouse, and scrappiest guy, and that sort of carried me on till today. I am those characteristics have are reflected in my entrepreneurship. Ashley, I'll tell you this. I believe very strongly that whenever anyone tells you that they live life with no regrets, they're lying, or they're just not being honest with themselves. I have so many regrets. There are so many things I wish I would have done differently. Every day I look back and say, I wish I would have done this differently. I wish I would have done that differently. It's impossible not to have regrets. It's impossible not to look back and say that I made this mistake, I made that mistake, I had this failure, I had that failure. And the first thing you need to do is you need to be open about that. You need to acknowledge that you're not perfect, that you fail, that you make mistakes. Not to try to sugarcoat them, not to try to pretend that mistakes don't happen and they're not a big deal, but to really learn from them and to really try to learn from each and every one of your mistakes. And equally important, to maintain a very positive attitude, to stay as positive as possible, and to just push forward. Because if you let your mistakes, if you let your failures bring you down, you're ultimately missing the point. The point isn't for mistakes and for failures to set you back. The point is for mistakes and failures to be teachable moments, for them to be opportunities for you to learn what to do differently the next time. I think anyone who knows me, and probably anyone who's listened to this podcast, can probably tell that I love sports. I'm a huge sports fan. Yeah, I wasn't good enough to play Major League Baseball. I wasn't even good enough to be a good high school baseball player. I was the kind of guy that tried to just get hit by the ball so I could get on first base. But something you know as a sports fan is when you win, you tend to be a lot less introspective than when you lose. When you lose, you study the tape, you examine what went wrong, and you learn. And I think that's really important for everyone to take in. So, when you lose a game, use it as a teachable moment. Don't let it affect you in the next game.
Right. But it's like taking those things that went wrong and using it as a lesson moving forward and helping you guide you in the right direction. I spoke to someone yesterday who said a great analogy, and he said the failures that you go through are like the bumpers in a bowling alley. So they don't get in the way, but rather guide you to where you're supposed to be. And I was like, wow, that is a powerful sentence, but it's so true.
Very well said. By the way, Ashley, I was a great bumper bowler. Once they removed the bumpers from bowling, you mentioned bumpers. As soon as they removed bumpers from bowling, that's when my bowling career went downhill. But if only they could bring back bumpers, then maybe I would have been something.
Well, you never know. And Adam, why would you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age specifically?
That's a tough question. And I don't necessarily know that I think individuals should start a business at a young age specifically. I think individuals should start a business when they have the idea that is the idea. So I'm not an advocate of starting a business simply for the sake of starting a business. I've actually had a number of interns, former interns, and other kids who I've mentored over the years approach me and ask for my advice around starting a business. Should I start this business? What do you think? What advice do you have? And something that I say pretty consistently is only start a business when you feel extremely compelled around the idea that you have. Because being an entrepreneur is really hard. Being an entrepreneur is as hard a thing as you're going to undertake as possible. I don't think people who are not entrepreneurs really understand just how hard it is to be an entrepreneur. I can tell you, I personally did not understand how hard being an entrepreneur would be. I had friends who were entrepreneurs warn me and say, Adam, this is going to be really, really hard. I don't think you understand how hard this is. And the truth is, I didn't understand how hard it is. Guys, girls, this is really, really hard stuff. Only do it when, I'm not going to say when you're ready, because I don't know that any of us are ever ready.
Fair point.
Only do it when you feel so compelled that you have a business that you need to get out there, that you need to go all in on. Because at the end of the day, entrepreneurship is by no means the path of least resistance. There are much easier ways to go through life. But if you have this calling that you have no choice but to be an entrepreneur, you have no choice but to take this idea that you have and spend all of your time, spend every waking moment on it, go and do it. And whatever age that is, that could be, you could be in your teens, you could be in your 20s, you could be in your 60s. Go and do it.
I love that. No matter what age or what point you're at in life, if you feel that huge push to start something, you should always listen to it. And Adam, if there's one last piece of advice that you'd like to leave with our listeners for someone who may just be starting out, what would it be?
Really good question, Ashley. I've talked about it a little bit. I think it's really important for anyone, everyone to get on this journey of self-discovery. Before you can effectively lead others, you need to be able to lead your own life. Something that I tell people quite a bit, it's a theme in many of the talks that I give. I'm a big believer that in life, most people are bad at most things. I personally am bad at so many things, I couldn't even tell you all the things that I'm bad at. But I think we're all good at a few things, and we all have that one thing that we're great at. We all have that one thing that makes us special, that makes us different, that makes us unique. It's our superpower. And the more quickly you can figure out what it is that makes you special, what it is that makes you different, what it is that makes you unique, the more successful you'll be in life, the more successful you'll be in business, the more successful you'll be as a leader. So I really implore anyone listening to this podcast to really start thinking about that. Really start thinking about, what is it about me that makes me special? What is my superpower? What is my differentiator? Get on that journey.
I think that's excellent advice, and really being able to think about what you have to offer in the world and what you can make of it.
Definitely.
Adam, this has been such an awesome episode full of super helpful tips and advice that I know our listeners will be able to find so valuable as they start to build and grow their businesses. So I'd love if you could share where our listeners can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Thank you, Ashley. I really appreciate that. You can find me pretty easily. It's really just my name, Adam Mendler. So you can find me at adammendler.com. So that's my website. You could also find me on social media at Adam Mendler. So at Adam Mendler on Instagram, at Adam Mendler on Twitter. My podcast, 30 Minute Mentors, you can go to 30 Minute Mentors. That's all spelled out. So 30minutementors.com, or you can find 30 Minute Mentors on your favorite podcasting app. So whatever app you're listening to this great podcast on, just type out 30 Minute Mentors. Listen, subscribe, and enjoy. And Ashley, had a great time. Really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you, and thank you to your listeners. This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on, Adam. And I'll leave all of those links in our show notes in case our listeners missed it. They know where to find it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.